Seems like we have another emergency every weekend these days, doesn't it? And this weekend's emergency is, of course, the imminent war between Israel and Lebanon. And so I'm recording this Friday evening. We'll get it out, hopefully, on Saturday. And as of right now, the ambassadors of most of the Western European NATO nations are being ordered to evacuate immediately out of Lebanon. And so they are fleeing Lebanon, in essence, leaving in a panic is what's being reported. And that's, you know, Italy, Greece, France, Germany, whatever, pretty much all the NATO countries, Western Europe. And the reason they're leaving is because they know that this attack on Lebanon by Israel is imminent. Now, I covered this in Friday's podcast somewhat. So let me just back up and summarize that. So Israel's army spokesperson, I don't recall his name, but I put it in yesterday's podcast. He admitted publicly in a local news broadcast in Israel that the IDF cannot defeat Hamas. So just a straight up admission, can't defeat Hamas, which of course I told you that, you know, 6 months ago, if not more. Of course you can't defeat Hamas. And Hamas has actually defeated the IDF in Gaza, believe it or not. IDF has suffered tens of thousands of casualties at this point. So Netanyahu has run out of space to operate really in Gaza without generating more ire from Washington, D.C. and the Biden administration. And so, but he has to keep the war going. He needs to be in perpetual war in order to cover his own political ass. You know, he has to keep the country in a state of war. Otherwise, Netanyahu goes to jail and he'll probably be arrested at some point by the International Criminal Court and so on. So he's got to find somebody to attack. So who's that? Well, he's going to pivot to the north and he's going to attack Lebanon. Why? Well, for the reasons I just mentioned. You got to keep the war going. It's not that Lebanon has done any imminent thing that justifies an attack. This is just what Zionists do. They just attack and kill everybody. So the next target is Lebanon. And of course, you'll hear all the rhetoric like, well, these are terrorists and it's Hezbollah and they have ties to Iran and they launched rockets at us and blah, blah, blah. But the real reason is Netanyahu just needs to keep a war going no matter how many people die. Now, this attack on Lebanon is going to be, this is going to escalate so rapidly. This is going to become incredibly vicious, incredibly kinetic, incredibly bloody very quickly. But let me summarize this. In my assessment, Israel is going to be ultimately, well, the Israel that we know on the map today, where it is today, its military, its political leadership, and so on, it will be destroyed. That's the outcome of this. Now, that's not tomorrow, that's not even in a month, maybe not even in a year. But this action by Israel in launching a full-on assault against Lebanon, this is a suicide move for Israel that will guarantee Israel's destruction at the hands of not only Hezbollah and Hamas, but also Iran. And of course, as you might suspect, Turkey will probably get involved here. And there are rumors of other nations that may get involved in defending Lebanon, but we'll see where that goes. The bottom line is that the entire region is sick and tired of Israel just invading, occupying, stealing land, and murdering everybody around them. Israel's like the worst neighbor you could possibly imagine. It's like if you live next to a serial killer that ran around the neighborhood, you know, setting fire to everybody's homes, stealing their cars, and murdering their babies, and eating their cats, you know, like that would be the equivalent of what Israel is to the Middle East today. It's like a Zionist regime of serial killers. So everybody's tired of them. And as the opportunity presents itself to shoot back at Israel, then Hezbollah, which has been preparing for war with Israel, is going to really advance its plans, which I was told by a source in Lebanon previously, that Hezbollah's plans were actually 2 years out, that they were building up missiles and rockets, they're building the tunnel systems under the border with Israel, building up their military training, and they were planning on attacking Israel sometime in 2026 or 2027. and that ultimately the plan is to wipe Israel off the map. Well, that plan is going to be moved up when Israel attacks Lebanon, which appears to be imminent. It may happen by the time you hear this. If not, watch the next 48 hours, 72 hours. I mean, this is imminent. According to all the sources, this is imminent. And this attack is likely to not just stay limited to southern Lebanon. It's going to move north. And eventually, maybe quickly, it's going to involve Beirut. Now, the thing you need to know about Lebanon is that Lebanon is a very diverse, multicultural country. When you say Lebanese, it's not what you think it means. It's not some, you know, homogenous culture of all Lebanese are the same. No, not even close. Some of them are Christians. Some of them are Jews. Some of them are Islam. You know, some of them are Sikhs. But they're from so many different regions. You know, there are French Lebanese. There are Cypriot Lebanese. There are Afghani Lebanese. There are Turkish Lebanese. It's just on and on. Lebanon is the ultimate melting pot of ethnicities and religions and cultures from the Mediterranean and the Middle East. And of course, the geographic position of Lebanon explains that. I mean, look where it is. It's actually in a really amazing place. And that's why the history of culture and ethnicity in Lebanon is so rich. There are families in Lebanon that have had the same property for 1,000 years. No joke. Like, it's been handed down from one generation to the next for 1,000 years. And it's not unusual in Lebanon to point to, let's say, like a wall. That wall was built, you know, 300 years ago. That's not unusual. That's crazy in America because almost nothing's 300 years old. But in Lebanon, that's normal. That's routine. The Lebanese people are very open-minded to other cultures, typically, although I know they fiercely battle with each other, Muslim versus Christian, for example. But overall, the Lebanese people are very open-minded. At the same time, they have a strong sense of justice. And the Lebanese people are not going to be happy when Israel comes in and starts bombing all these different cultures and religions and all these different civilians and, you know, your grandmother and your uncle and, you know, the doctor at the hospital and the professor at the mosque and everything else, or the imam. You know, the Lebanese people, they're not down with that. And you're going to see a very strong reaction when Israel launches its first strike. And what you're going to see domestically, this is my analysis, I mean, I don't have any sources about this, what I'm about to say, but this is just my sense that domestically inside Lebanon, you're going to have a very strong push for a retaliation attack by Hezbollah. Now, there are a lot of influences on Hezbollah. It's not just Iran, as is often reported. But there are a lot of cultural and domestic influences throughout Lebanon that get messages or pleas to Hezbollah. And being that Hezbollah has fighters from all over the region and different ethnicities and different, even in some cases, different religions, certainly different countries of origin that have come together to become Hezbollah and to fight for the territory of Lebanon and more, as it turns out, you're going to see them, I think, they're going to very quickly move to the point where they're going to launch a massive barrage of rockets and missiles back at Israel. So the way I see this panning out is Israel's going to do an attack, which is going to be air bombing, because Israel will have air dominance, of course, combined with a like a fast-moving Blitzkrieg-style armor attack in southern Lebanon. And then Hezbollah, which has spent the last 6 months, by the way, taking out Israel's communications towers and surveillance systems on the border between Israel and Lebanon. What Hezbollah is going to do, in my opinion, is they're going to allow Israel to think that it's winning. And Israel will be drawn into the pocket of southern Lebanon. And once Israeli forces are sufficiently committed inside southern Lebanon, Hezbollah is going to surround them. They're going to emerge from the tunnels. They're going to emerge behind the Israeli forces. They're going to cut off Israel's supply lines. And then you are going to see a heavy assault that will take out probably hundreds of armored vehicles, including Merkava tanks, of course. You're going to see a massive barrage of anti-tank weapons, a massive barrage of drones, rockets, and missiles from Hezbollah that will take out Israeli targets, plus a huge number, tens of thousands of, you know, Hezbollah warriors, real soldiers who are not afraid to die and actually kind of look forward to it in certain ways as long as they can inflict a defeat upon their sworn enemy, which is, of course, the IDF and the Zionists. You can't defeat an army of people who are ready and willing to die for their cause, okay? You can't defeat them. So this is Israel now on another suicide mission. But what's going to happen is then Israel is going to suffer catastrophic losses after the initial advance, which will appear to be a success, but then, you know, they will be cut off, they will be surrounded, and they will be destroyed. And then from that, Israel is going to cry out to its partners, in particular the United States, and say, come save us. We're in dire trouble, and if you don't save us, Israel, you know, is going to be lost, and we need your help to finish the job, send us more bombs, and so on and so forth. And if Israel gets desperate enough, of course, it starts to use small-scale tactical nuclear weapons. These tactical nukes, I don't know exactly what yields they have, but I would imagine some of them are in the 3 to 5 kiloton range, which is smaller than Hiroshima, but still nuclear. And I can see a lot of use of these relatively small-scale nuclear weapons. Now, because Israel will be in a state of desperation. Now, as this happens, when the nukes start flying, number one, it's going to show that Israel illegally has obtained nuclear weapons from the United States, which has illegally provided these nuclear weapons in contradiction to the non-proliferation nuclear treaties that the United States has signed with other countries. So the minute Israel starts to use nukes, it shows that the United States of America is a criminal regime that is pushing nuclear proliferation to nations that are engaged in crimes against humanity and genocide. At the same time, then it shows that Israel is, of course, doubling down on its criminality in carrying out crimes against humanity and genocide. At that point, you're going to start to see the ICJ and eventually the ICC start to issue arrest warrants for U.S. officials, including potentially, you know, Joe Biden and others like that. Maybe, who knows, maybe Blinken, I don't know. Maybe it goes back years to whoever was complicit in the nuclear weapons proliferation into the hands of the IDF. I'm not sure what that looks like, but it's a guess that the U.S. is going to be drawn into these arrest warrants. Now then, Iran. Iran's not going to just sit by and do nothing. Iran is probably going to see this, especially if Israel starts to use nuclear weapons, that's going to trigger, from Iran's point of view, a massive ballistic missile barrage against Israel, against Israeli military targets, logistics targets, suspected missile silos, as well as ammo depots and infrastructure such as electricity, fuel, and transportation. Israeli ports, in particular, will be rendered completely useless in this, you know, counter barrage from Iran. Now, this attack from Iran, which follows in the footsteps of the April 14th ballistic missile attacks against Israel that were carried out by Iran, which showcase the precision ballistic missile and hypersonic, shall we say, reentry? That's not the right term exactly, but the hypersonic final stage of these ballistic missiles from Iran, which can hit their targets and were able to bypass the Iron Dome defenses. Iron Dome will be history. The Patriot missile batteries will be rendered gone. They'll be destroyed. What's it called? The David sling and the arrow systems, whatever they're all called. Yeah, they'll have some effectiveness. They'll shoot down some of the incoming projectiles, but then they'll be out of ammo. They'll be done. It's done. And it's very unlikely that they'll get much more in the way of ammunition. Why? Well, because that ammo has to arrive typically by ship through the United States Navy. And the United States Navy is probably not going to be allowed to operate in the region as this escalates because Russia will get involved. Russia has Kinzhal hypersonic missiles. Kinzhal missiles can be outfitted with nuclear warheads, as well as, you know, typical kinetic warheads. And the way we get there with Russia attacking the U.S. Navy is that after Iran retaliates against Israel, the U.S. Navy attacks Iran and goes after Iran's oil fields and tries to destroy Iran's oil capabilities. Now, this is on the heels of Ukraine recently launching hundreds of drones to attack Russia's oil refinery capabilities. That just happened the other night. They launched hundreds of drones. Most of them were shot down, but not all of them. And there was damage to certain oil refining facilities and also some logistics offices that are tied to the oil production facilities. So what's happening is the West is going after oil production, both in Iran coming up and against Russia right now. And the idea is that if they can make sure that Russia doesn't have much oil, then, you know, how can they fight the war? But this is a gross miscalculation. But what these attacks on oil infrastructure are really going to accomplish is two things. Number one, a lot of Russia's oil infrastructure is out of reach of Ukrainian missiles and bombs and so on. And as a result, they really can't do much damage to the total infrastructure of Russia's energy output machine. But what they will be able to do is, especially if they do damage to Iran's oil refineries and oil infrastructure, they will manage to drastically increase the price of oil globally. What will that cause? Well, it'll be record revenues for Russia. I mean, Russia will be able to charge, what, $150 a barrel, $200 a barrel? I mean, I don't know exactly, obviously, where it's going to go, depending on how crazy things get. But this is going to get, you know, tens of billions of dollars more into the coffers of Russia and its government and ultimately its military, which is the opposite of what Western Europe wants, right? The other thing it's going to do is going to cause inflation in the United States during the election year at a time when the White House is desperately trying to pretend that there's no inflation and desperately trying to convince the American people that there's no inflation. But when energy prices suddenly spike, you're going to see more spiking of food prices, travel prices, and, you know, a lot of things, obviously, construction materials and so on. So this is horribly bad for Joe Biden at a time when Biden is already struggling. And then there's always the wild card question of whether Iran decides to close the Strait of Hormuz, blocking off energy exports, which would affect other nations beyond just Iran. Just look at a map and you'll see what I mean. And that would cause energy prices, including LNG prices, to spike globally. Now, all of this has huge implications for the dollar, of course, and for the U.S. Navy suffering casualties and so on. There's a very real risk that this thing begins to escalate to the point where we see Russia sinking U.S. naval vessels, perhaps an aircraft carrier. And I've talked about that before, what that sets off in terms of the loss of global trust in the ability of the U.S. Navy to project power, and also the inability of the Navy to protect sea lanes, which has huge implications for global trade, and the dominance of the BRICS currency. Because if the West can't protect the sea lanes, then the West can't control them, and the West can't then dictate what currency countries use. So all of this is related. The actions of Israel right now could set in motion a cascade of domino effect events that could result in a rapid acceleration of the global move away from the dollar. You ask for a black swan event, I give you Israel attacking Lebanon. There you go. Remember the line from Die Hard? You ask for a miracle to break the seventh seal. Remember that? Huh? The seventh seal of the vault of the Nakatomi Corporation that had hundreds of millions of dollars in bearer bonds in the vault, and you ask for a miracle? What did he say? The villain, what did he say? You ask for a miracle, I give you the FBI. And the FBI cut the power, which broke the seventh seal. I think it was the seventh. I mean, that sounds really biblical. Was it seven or was it five? I think it was seven. Yeah. You ask for a miracle, I give you the FBI. So anyway, you asked for a black swan, you got it. Israel will deliver. This is going to be a flock of black swans wearing suicide vests on a kamikaze mission. All right, so what does all this mean for you? Well, number one, pay attention. understand the dynamics of what's happening here. Everything that you're going to hear in the mainstream media is some watered down fifth grade version of what I just told you, if not just a bunch of lies and propaganda. You know, the people in mainstream media, also, by the way, they are morons. They are incapable of understanding the dynamics that those of us in independent media, we study every single day. If you want to know what's happening, listen to independent media. But definitely stay informed, because things are about to be unleashed in our world that we have not seen in our lifetimes. None of us. Not even since World War II. Not even including World War II. And you and I need to be ready for severe disruptions in oil, fuel, energy supplies, the possibility of cyber attacks. And you know, by the way, that Russia just did a joint security deal with North Korea. What's North Korea known for in terms of weapons? Cyber attacks. And also having an orbital nuke, possibly. But if not an orbital nuke, which we know Russia has, North Korea has ICBMs that are capable of reaching at least Hawaii, if not the west coast of the United States. But, you know, North Korea has diesel electric submarines that can also launch nuclear missiles, and so they don't even have to have that much of a range. They can cruise those submarines in deep Pacific waters, just a couple hundred miles offshore from the west coast. Even if they're on a suicide mission, they surface, they launch, they nuke Los Angeles. And from North Korea's point of view, that's worth the whole, the crew, the submarine, everything. Even if they get destroyed, for them, that's a victory. And now with Russia doing a joint security agreement with them, Russia's probably going to transfer more advanced nuclear missile technology to North Korea. And North Korea, you know, unlike Russia, which is led by Putin, who is a calculating individual, North Korea is run by a psychopath. Not, you know, that guy, you don't want to have to deal with him. You don't want to have to count on him being rational. Now, with Putin, you can count on him weighing the options, considering the costs, the risk, benefit, rewards, punishment, everything. Because Putin is the grand chess master of geopolitics. That's not Kim Jong-un. Nukes in that guy's hands, it's like a child with a flamethrower in a propane factory. So whatever you do, stay informed, get prepared. I'll bring you more information this weekend as it happens, but I'm betting on a very high probability now of a major Israeli attack against Lebanon, and for the first couple of days, it's going to look like that Lebanon is getting destroyed. But that's drawing Israel in. And then you're going to see the war turn, and you're probably going to see Iran getting involved, and maybe Turkey, and maybe some other nations as well. So this thing very quickly becomes World War III. So plan accordingly. I'm not going to go through the list of everything. I'll just mention my website, rangerdeals.com, if you need solutions, if you want discounts, and just kind of a small set of things that I have hand-selected for preparedness and for resiliency, you know, self-sustainability. Check out the deals and the discounts at rangerdeals.com or visit our store, healthrangerstore.com, for our backup food supplies. And remember that all the food we have available right now, not only is it lab-tested, heavy metals, glyphosate, microbiology, and more, it's also pre-fallout food, okay? So when the radiation begins, when the nuclear war begins, you're going to have fallout all over the Northern Hemisphere. All the food crops from that day forward will be fallout food. Pre-fallout food will be sold for a premium across the board. You know, I mean, I just mean it'll be more valuable versus post-fallout food, which everybody will suspect of being contaminated with, you know, cesium-137 and other fallout elements. So we have pre-fallout food right now, and so does everybody else at the moment, but ours is lab-tested for heavy metals and glyphosate, plus it's pre-fallout. And if you store pre-fallout food and then there is fallout, wow, you're going to thank yourself for having pre-fallout food because you won't be able to get much anymore. So prepare accordingly, be safe, stay informed, double, triple check all your supplies and everything, all your backup, everything, your backup comms, your backup money, your backup emergency medicine, backup iodine, ammunition, I mean, whatever. Who knows what's going to happen in the world at this point. Crazy people are in charge. They have nuclear weapons. And they're going to put us all at risk. And they're going to probably kill millions of people, if not more. So stay informed, stay safe, and I'll keep you posted as best I can. Mike Adams here from Brighteon.com and naturalnews.com. Take care. All right, here's what we have new and exciting at healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for your support. We have new, completely reformulated stick packs of these drink mixes that are really amazing. Show what's on my desk here. So the first one is the ginger plus elderberry immune support drink mix. These can be dissolved in water or other drinks. They have a good dissolving capability, by the way. And the ingredients are really clean and simple. Now, these are not certified organic, but they are laboratory tested in our lab. And I want to show you, you know, we do heavy metals testing and we do glyphosate testing and so on. But look at the simple ingredients here. Elderberry concentrate powder, elderberry juice flavoring powder, inulin, that's a natural prebiotic fiber, instant ginger concentrate powder, vitamin C that's non-GMO, and then stevia, and that's it. Okay, super simple, and it's real. No artificial colors, no artificial flavors, no garbage in here, no filler, just the simple ingredients that I mentioned there with an excellent taste that's tart. You know, it's got a nice berry flavor, and it's got the non-GMO vitamin C, and it's only sweetened with a little bit of stevia. So I think you'll enjoy that. We also have a tart cherry probiotics drink mix that you can see there on the top of your screen. And we have a collagen joint support with marine collagen, not bovine collagen. So that's available right now as well. And then here's something really exciting. We now have for the first time, nattokinase. This is an enzyme that's very potent. A lot of people have been learning about this in the post-COVID era of, you know, good health and good cardiovascular support and all of that. So check out nattokinase, which is an enzyme that's actually derived from fermented soy, but it's fermented, so it actually, it synthesizes new natural molecules and enzymes, and that's how you get nattokinase. We have that available right now at healthrangerstore.com. And then finally, we have these certified organic freeze-dried cranberries in number 10 cans. We have many other fruits and vegetables also that are certified organic, laboratory tested, long-term storage in this format. You can find all of these, including our long-term storable food, Ranger buckets, mini buckets, and mega buckets at healthrangerstore.com. We thank you for your support. Oh, don't forget about Lion's Mane. Yeah, this is relatively new. A few weeks that we've had it in the store. Lion's Mane mushroom capsules. Organic Lion's Mane mushroom powder. This is my favorite functional mushroom. This is what I took after nearly severing my finger. And I use Lion's Mane as part of my, you know, protocol to regrow nerves and tissues and blood vessels and get back the functioning of my own index finger. So that was my introduction to the power of Lion's Mane. But it can help support your immune function. It's got a lot of other benefits supporting normal neurological function and so on. So check it out at healthrangerstore.com. So thank you for your support at healthrangerstore.com. We need your support in order to continue to build the infrastructure of human freedom. And not only are we working to provide you with healthy, nutritious, clean foods, but also, of course, we have Brighteon.io, which is an uncensorable, decentralized free speech platform, but we also have Brighteon.ai. And we're about to release a new language model that's trained on truth-based, reality-based content that I just looked at our internal scoring of that model yesterday, and it scores 94 out of 100 in our testing, which asks it questions about medicine, health, history, you know, politics, genders, reality, everything. 94 out of 100. The base models from companies like Microsoft or Mistral or Meta, the base models score about 50 out of 100. And our most recent model was scoring, I think it was 79 out of 100. And now we have a model that scores 94 out of 100. So these models are all available to you for free. Let me bring up the website, brighteon.ai. You can go there. You can download these models. Just enter your email, click register. You can download the language models free of charge and use them locally without charge. And it's like, it's just open source language models that we build for you and release to the world. And it's a knowledge base because we've trained it on a tremendous amount of material on nutrition, natural health, gardening, survival skills, you know, food production, off-grid medicine, off-grid living, and so much more. And the way we build those is by investing in the infrastructure with the help of your support at healthrangerstore.com. So enjoy all of our products, enjoy the health benefits and health support that they offer, and feel good about knowing that you're helping to support us as we build the infrastructure for human freedom. Thank you for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. Take care.